Good morning, and welcome to 180 Degree Capital Corp's first quarter 2018 financial results call. This is Daniel Wolf, President, Chief Financial Officer, and Portfolio Manager of 180 Degree Capital. Kevin Rendino, our Chairman, Chief Executive Officer, and Portfolio Manager, and I would like to welcome you to our call this morning. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. Following our prepared remarks, we will open the line to questions. If you would like to ask a question, please type *6 on your phone or click on the Ask a Question icon if you are participating via your computer. I would like to remind participants that this call is being recorded and that we will be referring to a slide deck that we have posted on our investor relations website at ir.180recapital.com under Calendar of Events. Please turn to slide 2 that contains our Safe Harbor Statement. This presentation may contain statements of a forward-looking nature relating to future events. Statements contained in this presentation that are forward-looking statements are intended to be made pursuant to the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These forward-looking statements are subject to the inherent uncertainties in predicting future results and conditions. These statements reflect the company's current beliefs, and a number of important factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed herein. Please see the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission for a more detailed discussion of the risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business that could affect the company's actual results. Except as otherwise required by federal securities laws, 180 Degree Capital Corp. undertakes no obligation to update or revise these forward-looking statements to reflect new events or uncertainties. I would now like to turn the call over to Kevin.
Thank you, Daniel, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide 3, which is a quick summary of the quarter. Our NAV increased by 4 cents. Our share price declined by 5.6%. Given the opposite direction of the two, our stock price discount to our NAV widened at quarter end from a 25% discount to a 30% discount. Our cash and liquid securities increased to a total of over $28 million. This represented nearly half of our total market capitalization at quarter end and now represents 35% of our portfolio assets. Please move to slide 4. Our new strategy of investing in public companies continued to pay dividends in Q1. As you can see, we started the quarter with a $2.60 NAV. Led by the Street and Adesto, our public portfolio moved our NAV higher by 8 cents. Our private portfolio, led by a reduction in Essential Health Systems, reduced our NAV by 2 cents. Expenses at our new reduced quarterly level were approximately 2 cents, resulting in an end-of-quarter $2.64 NAV. All in all, given the heightened volatility in the markets in Q1, we're happy to be able to print a positive NAV quarter. This is the fourth time we have now done that in the last 5 quarters. Next slide, please. On slide 5, we depict our performance over the last 5 quarters and the sources of that change. If it wasn't evident to everyone why we needed to change our business model, I think this slide sums it up. We start with an NAV of $2.34 and then add 48 cents of investment gains. Out of the 48 cents, 85% of that total was generated from our public company holdings. Subtracting 18 cents of expenses, which also included restructuring charges from last year, you end up with a $2.64 NAV at the end of Q1. Last year, 180 Degree shareholders set our company on a far better path than the one we are on, unfortunately, for too long. Clearly, you can see the benefit of the direction of this decision on this slide. We're very happy with the direction our company is headed. Next slide, please. Here we show the performance of our public companies in the first quarter. Following last year, when our public companies advanced almost 60%, we achieved a 10% return in Q1. A couple of thoughts on the significant movers. Number one, Adesto rose 14% following its third straight quarter of 30% revenue growth. Number two, the Street advanced almost 30% following its recent retirement of its preferred stock, a transaction we helped the company facilitate, and the continued turnaround of its business. Remember, as part of that preferred stock transaction, we joined the Street board, so I have to be limited in what I can say. The Street did report earnings this morning, and we will be jumping from this call to that call as soon as this call ends. What I will say is this, the B2B data assets that the Street has are growing as expected. And for the first time in 3 years, the B2C subscription deferred revenue increased. This is usually a leading indicator for earned revenues. We consciously walked away from paying for traffic on the free site, a move that hurt the Street's advertising revenue in the quarter, but didn't affect the profitability. We simply stopped chasing $500,000 of bad revenue. Here's the bottom line. We had a view of this business when we joined the board in November that the assets were worth significantly more than the 1x enterprise value to revenue that the company was trading at. Today, I'm more bullish than I was when I first joined the board in November. The retirement of the preferred stock was done for a reason. It gave the company flexibility and options that it simply did not have before. This board will do what's in the best interest of shareholders, and the turnaround is happening. Thirdly, on Synacor, it is the one disappointment we have had in our public portfolio. The company has overpromised and underdelivered. Here's where we're at. The enterprise value is less than the combined deferred revenue of the entire company, meaning there is $100 million of Synacor revenues that the market is valuing at zero. They aren't worth zero. If you look at the progression of revenues over the last 3 years, you will see $100 million in revenue in 2015, $127 million in 2016, $140 million in 2017, and $150 million expected revenues in 2018. Adjusted EBITDA is estimated to be between $7 and $10 million this year, a multi-year high. So what's the problem, and why is the enterprise value of Synacor at a multi-year low of $55 million? It's an absurd valuation. And in our view, the stock wouldn't be here had the management team never opened its mouth and suggested that the AT&T revenues can be $100 million, or that in 2019, EBITDA could be $30 million and revenues for the entire company could be $300 million. These were self-inflicted wounds that has completely ruined the credibility the management team has with shareholders. It is all fixable, though. They just need to be more realistic about the business potential for 2018. We think they've set the company up for more conservative guidance in 2018, and we think they have set more reasonable expectations for how the business will play out. Next slide, please. Slide 7 is the end result of our stock picking in the public markets. We wish more of our assets were in public companies. We are driving our strategy towards that end. Here's a look at our performance of our public companies versus some comparable indices. It's self-explanatory. Our 10% return trounced every single relevant index, a very good chart to be able to show people. Next slide, please. Back to the scorecard. What's interesting to note is where the progress we have made to alter our portfolio composition. We now have 30% of our assets in more liquid assets. While that number is flat from last quarter, the number was 25% a year ago. One other thing to note here, we did close on another SPV. We were prepared to share that name with everybody today, but we've been advised that we actually don't have to file until 45 days after our fiscal year end, despite the fact that we're now over 5% of the company. We aren't ready to disclose the name today, but when we are, we will send out a release and perhaps do a conference call to discuss it. Next slide, please. Here's a chart of our NAV. We are in rarefied air in terms of our ability to execute on a quarterly basis, at least relative to the history of this company. It's been 7 years since we posted four or five positive NAV quarters. We certainly have more work to do, but it's been a good 5 quarters since we started. Next slide. A quick look at a pie chart illustrating the makeup of our investments that I've discussed already. As we have repeatedly said, we are driving towards increasing the green portion of this pie. A year ago, 75% of our assets were in private companies and just 25% in public companies. Today, we have 66% in private companies and 34% in public companies, so we certainly are making progress. Next slide, please. Here we show what matters the most to you, our stock price in blue, or the bottom line, and our stock price as a percentage of our NAV in orange, or the top line. We have said it from day one. Our first goal is to grow NAV. Our second goal is to narrow the discount our stock trades at relative to NAV. We have moved our discount our stock trades to NAV from 50% to 30% as a result of the remaking of our portfolio and having more liquid assets on our balance sheet. Our strategy change is paying off. Next slide, please. Finally, our regular sum of the parts chart we show you every quarter. While I've said our stock was trading at 70% of NAV at quarter end, if you give us full credit for the cash and liquid securities we own, the market is effectively paying us 55 cents on the dollar for our private assets. Now let me turn the call over to Daniel for comments on our private portfolio, the discussion of our expenses, and he'll tell you about our recent investment in Turtle Beach.
Thank you, Kevin. Please turn to slide 13. As we have said in prior calls and letters, we continue to believe our private portfolio contains companies that will generate meaningful returns on invested capital. As of March 31, 2018, our most mature private portfolio companies, D-Wave Systems, AgBiome, HZO, and Nanosys, were valued at $31.1 million in aggregate, or over half the total value of our private portfolio. Using the same analysis as Kevin mentioned on the previous slide, our stock price at the end of the quarter equated to a value of our entire private portfolio of $30.8 million, or less than the aggregate value of our four most mature privately held portfolio companies. There are other companies in the private portfolio that also hold promise. However, these companies are in early stages of development, and the timelines and potential exit values for these companies are highly uncertain. Please turn to slide 14. As we have discussed in prior calls, we have greatly reduced our operating expenses, which makes it far easier to grow NAV than in years past. For the first quarter of 2018, our operating expenses were $740,000 versus $1.05 million in the same quarter of 2017, a 30% year-over-year reduction. Please note that the first quarter of 2017 was the last quarter of operations as our predecessor company, Harrison Harris Group. Going forward, the quarterly year-over-year comparisons will no longer show the drastic drop in expenses as those reported over the last four quarters and in this comparison. Please turn to slide 15. As we discussed on last quarter's call, we currently anticipate that our annual ongoing operating expenses in 2018 will increase slightly from last year, reflecting the potential for us to make investments in our business by adding to our investment staff. We will only pursue such a hire if we believe that investment will help us launch new funds, either managed and/or co-managed by 180. Additionally, this slide also includes our annual expenses, including year-end compensation bonus in 2017, and accruals for the portion of this bonus that was deferred and will only be payable upon if our performance from 2017 is persistent in 2018 and 2019. We remain committed to treating every dollar of shareholder money with the utmost care and consideration. It is much easier for us to grow NAV when the expense hurdle rate is where it is today. We aim to decrease this expense ratio further. However, these decreases will likely come from an increase in net assets rather than from further reductions in operating expenses. Please turn to slide 16. While we are pleased with how the quarter ended, we are now focused on the second quarter, and we believe that it has started out on strong footing with a new investment in a company called Turtle Beach Corporation, and as Kevin mentioned, the closing of our second special purpose vehicle, or SPV. Please turn to slide 17. On April 27, 2018, we announced an investment in Turtle Beach Corporation that trades on NASDAQ under the symbol HEAR, H-E-A-R. Turtle Beach is a leading provider of headsets to the gaming industry. The company had a similar problem as The Street, a complex balance sheet that included approximately $19.3 million of preferred stock accruing interest at a relatively high rate. 180 invested $1 million as part of a total takeout price for this preferred security of $7.45 million. We purchased shares of Turtle Beach as part of this transaction at $3.50 a share. Please turn to slide 18. We were excited about this investment opportunity because it presented another opportunity to remove a capital structure overhang at a substantial discount. Once this overhang was removed, the additional value should accrete to common shareholders. This slide shows what this accretion could look like if all other factors remain the same. On April 26, 2018, the day before the transaction was announced, Turtle Beach's common stock was trading at $4.89 per share. If all else remained the same, following the removal of the preferred stock under the terms discussed, Turtle Beach's common stock should have traded at $5.51. It currently trades above $7 a share. The environment for gaming is exploding due to the introduction of new multiplayer games such as Fortnite and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. We believe Turtle Beach is well positioned to build value from this trend. As Kevin mentioned, also during the second quarter, we closed on our second special purpose fund, or SPV, with $3.35 million in committed capital. We are not ready to share the identity of this target investment, but we look forward to doing so in the future. And as Kevin mentioned, currently we're not required to report the investment because we have not gone active in terms of being required to file 13D. And so we will be looking forward to discussing with this in the future. Please turn to slide 19. We continue to make progress on our efforts to obtain a broker-dealer license and other investments in our business that we believe will result in value creation for shareholders in the future, and look forward to being able to share these efforts with you as well in upcoming calls. I will now turn the call back over to Kevin.
Thanks, Daniel. Hopefully by now, shareholders have come to realize that every decision that we make is geared towards our common shareholders and with a desire to create shareholder value. For too long, our business has disappointed you both in terms of our NAV and its stock price. We think we're building a very fine track record for constructive activism in the small cap ecosystem, and we're quite pleased with the start we've gotten off to in the last 5 quarters. We want 180 to be known as a thought leader in our world and a firm that can help public companies in their desires to create value for their shareholders. Examples are Turtle Beach and The Street. Most importantly, we want 180 to be known as an investment shop that shows investment excellence, meaning we want to make money for our shareholders, and we also want to make money for our investors in our SPVs, our co-investment vehicles, and sub-advised funds. That's why we show up every day. Thank you for your time, and now, Daniel, let's open it up for questions.
If you have a question, please type *6 on your phone or click on the Ask a Question icon if you are participating via your computer or webcast. Our first question comes from ACP. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Sorry, go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. It's Whitney. I got my machine. I don't know whether anybody else had this problem, but I got hung on page 11 of the presentation, so I just wanted to share that with you. Maybe others did just fine, but just wanted to let you know.
Were you on the website?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Whitney.
No worries.
And thanks for your support, Whitney.
Yeah, all full speed ahead, guys.
Thanks. By the way, our shareholder letter is out and also on our website, along with what should have been the shareholder presentation for this conference call. I was able to print it out this morning, so it should be up on the site. The shareholder letter also.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Is Sam Robotsky. You indicated your cash was $28 million as of March 31. It appears you sold some Adesto subsequent, and you made this investment. Could you sort of indicate what your cash is currently? And I guess you'll have some profit from the Adesto, and what's your plan going forward?
So cash and liquid securities, Sam, was the $28 million. We don't really talk about what our cash and liquid securities do. What you can do is you can follow them just like we. We told you what you know what all these stocks traded at the end of the quarter, and you can kind of market them as the quarter unfolds, knowing that we'll probably end up spending 2 to 2.5 cents of expenses each and every quarter. What you don't know is when we're selling, what the average price is during the quarter, and we're not at liberty to discuss that part as well. But you'll see with Turtle Beach, you know the investment that we've made, $1 million at 3.5. You can see where the stock is today. So you can try and calculate it. If you see where Mersana is this quarter or right now versus the end of the quarter, it's up. Adesto is up. The Street is a shade down. Synacor is up. And obviously Turtle Beach is up 100%. So you can probably guess that our cash and liquid securities are higher today than they were at quarter end.
Okay. Well, Kevin, I want you to know you and Dan have done a significantly good job in turning the company around relative to the name Turn, your symbol. Tell me, what's the story with Hale Life? Are we doing anything there?
Yeah, so happy to give you a little bit of update on Hale Life. So the company, as I think we've talked about historically in last year, is really focused on leveraging information that can be gained from wearables and other devices that are now on the market, combined with genetics and other metabolomic and biological information to give individuals better idea of how to manage their health, but also, and really focused right now, is on performance athletics and elite athletes. So really working with them to figure out how to make them be able to perform at peak levels during their either the games or whatever, in the ballet, for example, being able to continue to dance and at the highest levels throughout all of the performances. So the company is moving forward well with some pilot tests. They are, there's some initial responses that people are interested in. It is still a very early stage company. It's still working to figure out its business model, but the initial indications are positive that it seems like what they have and the product offerings they're putting together are something that at least a first set of customers are interested in.
Thank you. And as far as your mature companies, do we expect the transaction in the current year ending December 31?
So I'd love to give you an answer that would make you happy, Sam. We don't know. Here's what I'd say. I'd say if we didn't make the change that we made a year and a half ago to reorient our business towards something completely different, we would have been in a far different place. We would have been in a far worse place. We would have had to have force sold many of these private businesses because our operating expenses were too high, and we would have needed cash to fund our business. And it would have been a cycle, a vicious cycle down. And fortunately for us, we don't have to make any decisions on our private portfolio. We, as a board, our desire is to monetize our businesses as quickly as we can if we are getting fair value for those assets. So let's say a company is going through a round of financing. If there's an opportunity for us to sell into that round, we will sell into that round if we can and it's fair value for that asset. If we wanted to just take this whole portfolio and sell it in the secondary markets, neither our board or our shareholders would be happy in the price that we were getting for those assets. So we're just not going to sell anything for the sake of selling them. If we can convert that capital into cash at a decent valuation, just like you analyze any public company, if our valuation of the private business lends itself towards making a sale at a price we think is fair value, we'll do it. As you said, there are four or five companies that are very mature, whether it's Nanosys or HZO, AgBiome to some extent, D-Wave to some extent, We hope that over the next couple of years, 18 months, we'll be able to have some monetization events like the one we had last year at Mersana. So we can't force them to monetize. They're going to do it when they can. We are trying to liquefy that portfolio when we can. But I don't want to sit here, Sam, and give you false promises and tell you we're going to be able to do something in the next 6 months. I simply don't know.
Well, thank you. You're doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for the support,
Sam. Thanks, Sam. Hi, please go ahead. Move on to the next question. Hi, please go ahead.
So, Dan, I think it's me, Al Shams. I think I'm up. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Hi, Al.
Okay, okay. So with respect to Turtle Beach, so we bought approximately about 330,000 shares of Turtle Beach, and that's our commitment.
$1 million at 350.
Yeah, okay, so it's just slightly under 300,000.
Okay, okay, okay. So and that's our current position.
Correct. Well, that was our announcement of our. I can't tell you what we're doing intra-quarter, Al, but. That was our position in the pipe deal that was done at the end of the last month.
Okay, okay. With respect to the special purpose vehicle, can you describe just in general terms how that might operate and how valuable?
Very similar to the one that we did with the street in that, look, at the end of the day, if the entire private portfolio was cash, and we had, let's say, all of our assets were in cash and available for investments in public companies, we would do all these deals with the cash on the balance sheet because shareholders get 100% of the return of that.
Right. Okay.
The reason for having to do SPVs is because, to Sam's point, we can't make the private companies monetize. And so instead of us twiddling our thumbs and moving some of the public portfolio around, we just don't have the flexibility in our balance sheet to invest. Okay. So therefore, we find these what we think are tremendous ideas, and we want to make people money in those ideas, and that's the reason for setting up the SPVs. And the one that we did was because we felt as though we just couldn't do it all from our own balance sheet. And so here's a great idea. Let's raise the money. Let's talk to people about that idea. And then let's go buy the stock. And then at some point we'll file and everyone will know who it is. And then we'll get busy trying to figure out how to make the thing go up from where it is today.
So we're bringing in joint venture partners, basically.
Family offices, private wealth shops, RIs, RIAs. You know, I want folks invested alongside of us that understand what our time horizon is, which is not tomorrow. I know we've gotten, look, USA Truck was up 100% last year in 3 months. Turtle Beach is up 100% in 3 weeks. Like, I understand that's not normal. So normally we have a 2-year kind of time horizon. We want people that are like-minded. Like-minded to us in terms of their investment process, and want to really sort of invest alongside of us.
Okay, and then finally, when you're considering monetizing some of the private portfolio, while you might not get full fair value, if you can get pretty close to it and see a really compelling opportunity, you know, like what we did with Turtle Beach, maybe it might make sense to take a little bit less than fair value on the private side to get a tremendous value on the public side. Is that part of your thinking?
We totally agree. We very much agree with you. We are not being piggish as it relates to we know. Look, I mean, this business got into the situation that it did for a reason. We understand the pluses and the minuses of the private world. couple of the companies that we own probably go to zero, not the big ones. But, you know, we get it. And so we're not looking to get the most value we can. We're just looking to get at acceptable value. And sometimes right. that might even be below NAV of that position. Who knows? But we're not to reiterate my comment that I started answering with, we're not going to be piggish, Al, I promise.
Right. Okay. Well, great work. I love it when we're able to take buy back debt and preferred at a deep discount. That's a real value creation process. So, good work.
Thanks, Al.
Seeing no more questions in the queue.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for their time today. If you have any follow-up questions, feel free to email myself or Daniel. Feel free to pick up the phone and give us a ring. We're pleased with Q1, but we're on to Q2, and Q2 is off to an even better start than Q1. So look forward to returning and talking about our Q2 results sometime in late July. Until then, hope you're well, and we look forward to talking to you at your convenience. Thanks.
Thank you very much.